This is Talking Business. Joining me now is Gerry Anderson, who's the CEO of Food Bank for New South Wales and the ACT. G'day, Gerry. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Alan. Thanks for the opportunity.
Now, tell us a bit about Food Bank. How long ago did it start and who started it?
Look, Food Bank was started in 1992 as Sydney Food Bank, and it was started by Charles Scarf from the Reuben F. Scarf family and John Perrottet, who I think now is in the States with World Health Organization. They saw it in America in 91, brought it to Australia, and since then it's just expanded. And in 1996, Food Bank Australia was formed. Food Bank's a federated group, so we're in every state of Australia. I look after New South Wales and the ACT, and then there's my equivalent in all the other states, including the Northern Territory and Tasmania. The great thing about it is that while we're a federated group, we all work together. We're part of the Global Food Banking Network, which has been around for at least 50 years, and they're centred in Chicago. So it's like a food bank non-for-profit franchise business where we abide by a set of rules, guidelines, and our one mantra is to just feed hungry Aussies.
And there's, in fact, there's a nice story about how it started, I think, something like 50 years ago in the US. Tell us about that.
Yeah, look, the need was there, and the Global Food Bank Network was started because they saw people being hungry, the head offices in Chicago, but the American government have done a wonderful thing that they work together with the farmers, and particularly the farming lobby in America is so strong. And so they get some assistance in the food that they provide for the food bank. And I think there's about 70 food banks in America, and they're massive. And then it's expanded into Europe and the UK. Recently I was in London and met my equivalent in London, and they've got 21 operations throughout the country providing food to, you know, all those charities who need some help. So
basically you pick up food that's left over in places, or at least unused or close to or past use by date, is that right?
Alan, it's not left over as such. Our major suppliers are the food and grocery industry of Australia. So it'll be product that might have been a discontinued line. They've changed the packaging material, might have a bit of short shelf life on it, or it might have a packaging mistake. Somebody's put the wrong ingredients on or something like that. Then all the major retailers provide product to us that might have been the outer carton, might have been damaged in the warehouse. So it comes back to us. And then we've got a wonderful program called Waste Not Want Not with the farmers in the Riverina. And the farmers all over Australia help us. I mean, the farmers are a wonderful group of people. They've got hearts of gold, even though in the last 10 years in Australia, they've suffered pretty badly with drought. But they supply product to us. Just out of New South Wales alone, we're shipping 50 tonne of fruit and vegetables out every week. So there's 200 tonne going to the ACT and New South Wales charities. And that's just a wonderful opportunity. And that's sort of trebled in the last 4 years.
So you're really a logistics organisation, aren't you? I mean, picking it up and delivering it and so on.
We're a very efficient logistics operation with a benevolent heart, and we just want to help people. So that's the way it works. Across the nation last year, we provided 38 million kilograms of food, which equates to 60 million meals. In New South Wales, that was about 8.5 million kilograms and about 15 plus million meals. So they're big numbers, and we're aiming to get to 50 million kilograms in the next 3 to 4 years.
So what do you have a shortage of, food or customers or people to give it to?
We've got plenty of customers. That we've been for the last 4 years putting out a hunger report, the Food Bank Hunger Report. The latest one that was launched in World Poverty Week in mid-October showed 3.6 million Australians, 15% of the population, have been unsure where their next meal is coming from in the last 12 months. Nearly half of these are families with young children, 50% of those struggling to feed themselves and families are actually employed. So there's a bit of a myth in the society that, you know, people are lazy and all of that. That's not the fact. It's the working poor. I mean, that's 50% of what our survey showed. So, I mean, we're the lucky country.
Perhaps those sort of stats are, in a sense, overshadowed by the obesity stats. That you get the impression that everyone's fat, but in fact, what you're seeing is 15% of the population are hungry.
Yeah, and it's surprising. I talk to the charities that come into our warehouse every day, and we've got 607 registered. And I've come from the warehouse to come into the studio now. And just chatting to them, they've just got more people coming. I mean, with the bill shock from electricity and all of those things, or if somebody has a little hiccup, somebody in the family gets sick, they have their car breaks down, which was taking them to work, they've got to get those fixed first. So the unfortunate thing is that food's become a bit of a discretionary spend, which is really sad.
So how does one qualify to pick up food from Foodbank?
The way it works from our point of view, if the Australian Tax Office allows you to register as a charity, we will accept you. So they're the moral judge of whether a group...
So you distribute to charities, not to individuals.
Yeah.
So you...
We don't distribute to individuals. So we're like the pantry of the welfare sector. We're behind the scene. We provide the food to the charities and then their front line. So the biggest charity groups are people like the Salvos and Mission Australia, a lot of church groups. We've got no ethnic or religious bias. We're happy to help everybody. Everybody who the tax office is happy to have as a charity registered in Australia, we're happy to provide food for you.
So you've recently put a submission for a school breakfast program to the New South Wales government. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, look, we put one to Rob Stokes last year, and we most likely hadn't spent as much time as we needed to on the submission. And we've got another one going to him shortly, because in New South Wales, there's 711 schools that are disadvantaged, and that's recognised by the Education Department. In the Andrews government in Victoria, providing Food Bank Victoria $13.5 million over 4 years to expand and fund a school breakfast program. In West Australia, they're providing school breakfast, and they've been doing it for a longer time than anybody, for around about 500 plus schools. The one thing about a school breakfast program is that kids are pretty simple to manage as long as you keep some simple rules. They've got to know that they're going to get it regularly. They've got to know it's quality product and it's going to be available at the same time every day when they go to school. Which means from our point of view, we don't have a supply chain. We have a surprise chain, because product just turns up at our place. Whereas with the school breakfast program, we've actually got to go and buy things like a spread and breakfast cereal and UHT milk and tin fruit and baked beans and all of those types of products. So we're regularly and consistently supplying good product to the kids to give them a great start for the day. So we've got to buy that. So we're going to the Education Department to talk to them about that, because it's important. We've been fortunate. A very recent time, a very kind benefactor donated a considerable amount of money to Food Bank New South Wales and ACT to fund a school breakfast program. So we're going to trial that at the moment so we get the protocols all right, because we haven't done it in New South Wales. So we want to get it right, so when we start off the 2018 school year, we've got all those protocols right. We're trialling it with 20 schools at the moment. And then the minister will understand that we're serious, we've got the logistic capabilities. The one good thing the New South Wales government has done for us, we built a new $15.5 million warehouse at Glendenning. We've been in a little over 2 years, and they provided $6.1 million towards that, which we're very grateful.
So where do you get most of your money from?
Look, 40% of what we do, we give away food. The rest we charge a handling fee for, and that handling fee last year averaged 38 cents. Plus
38 cents per what?
Per kilogram.
Oh, I see.
So 38 cents a kilogram was what the average handling fee was in the last financial year. We actually actively fundraise, so we've changed from being an operationally driven business to a fundraising driven business, and that's only happened in the last 12 months because we believe that as industry gets smarter, they reduce their waste, they reduce their errors, that we'll need to go and buy more product. The Australian food industry has been unbelievably supportive of what we do, and they sell product to us at very competitive rates. And I can give you an example. Wheat growers in Australia donate wheat to us, and last year it was 3,000 plus tonnes. Then you've got people like George Weston Foods in Manildra convert it into flour, or it goes to Uncle Toby's and Sanitarium to convert it into wheat biscuits. And in the case of flour, it goes to Rinaldi Pasta, who make pasta for us. And all we pay in that whole equation is the direct costs. So there's no overheads, none of that. So, you know, the industry understands their part of that corporate social responsibility, and they're doing that.
Unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there, Jerry, but it's been really interesting talking to you. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Alan.
I'll be talking to Jerry Anderson, who's the CEO of Foodbank in New South Wales and ACT.